Good day, good week, good evening, good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of the Trucking Risk and Insurance Podcast. This week, we are privileged to have Shiva, the CEO and founder of Pit Stop. If you don't know what Pit Stop is, you've got to remain here and listen, because I'll tell you, I was excited when I got to learn more. All right, with that, let's get on with the interview with Shiva from Pit Stop. Shiva, our CEO and founder of Pit Stop. How are you?
Doing excellent, Chris. Thanks for having me.
John and I are excited because we want to learn a little bit about Pit Stop.
Yes.
Right? And maybe you could start us off by giving us a little bit of the background of Pit Stop.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. So at Pit Stop, we're really focused on taking the large amounts of data that come off of trucks and using that to provide predictive maintenance, predictive analytics. So knowing when, for example, the battery's gonna fail, when the brakes are wearing out, when the tires are gonna fail, and bubbling that all up in one place for a fleet manager to review. So let's say you got 100 trucks, 500 trucks. That's a lot of information to try to manually dissect. And because of that, it becomes very reactive. Driver calls in, says the light's on, you pull into the shop. Sometimes it is a big deal, most of the times it's not. And so you waste a lot of time, there's a lot of downtime related to that. So because of this, we're able to organize all the fault codes by priority. What's the risk of it occurring or incurring downtime to this truck? But also by predicting when certain issues are going to appear in the future around things, again, like the battery brakes, the engine, the diesel exhaust system with engine derates, trying to avoid those kind of scenarios.
I think it's the prediction model that is the most exciting from everything you said there, because if I avoid a damn breakdown on the highway, I'm making money.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's the key value problem. I could tell backstory too, how we got to this. So when I started Pinball, I actually was working at a tech company in Silicon Valley that was working on chips that went into Teslas. And I realized, hey, when data flows from the vehicle back to the suppliers, very quickly you can make changes and make these products better and reduce things like downtime and failures. And from my childhood experience of growing up in truck mechanic shops owned by my father in the Toronto region, Toronto, Canada, I learned a lot about the electronic controls coming into vehicles and how that was really changing the way these assets would operate. So taking those two experiences, realized, hey, there's a big opportunity here to take data that's already coming from ELD, like the big guys out there, Geotabs, Sarah, Verizon. Everyone has these things plugged in, or a lot of people do. So data's being reported, but it just sits there, and there's too much information for people to act on in its raw format. So by taking that information, dissecting it, and then giving an insight that with the recommended action of, hey, take this in or call the driver, just double check, are they experiencing anything? Or don't worry about it, these issues pop up all the time, but it's not a big deal. I mean, simplifying it to that is really the core value that we're helping a lot of fleet customers with today in driving uptime, reducing unplanned downtime with breakdowns, but also organizing that day-to-day workflow and making it so they got more time back in on their side to not have to dissect and analyze information on Excel, or in some cases, just ignore the data.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, with a telematics device, you're getting a ton of data, and depending on what you're using that particular telematics device for, a lot of that data just falls into a wastebasket and you do nothing with it. So if you can utilize a service like you're talking about to say, hey, over here, let's sift through some of this data, capture this, and move it into this fashion.
Exactly. That's exactly it. So get more out of the investment. And the investments of the telematics are already showing ROI, maybe around idling, fuel reports, around the driver safety. Wow. All of these types of things, but then also predicting downtime is a huge value problem.
Yeah. So with this system, are we also able to track maintenance intervals, maintenance schedules on top of the predicting aspect?
Yeah, it's all bundled together because not only do we want to say, hey, the battery might fail, but, oh, there's a PM, you know, it's coming up 3 weeks from now, but why don't we just do it all together, right? So we include the PM, we include all the fault code information, we include, you can add work orders as required, depending on the fleet. You want to add it in, or we can sync it up with your existing kind of shop or work order management software.
Cool. Good deal.
Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, what can you sync pit stop to? Can you give us some examples of some of the software you've already hooked up to it?
Yeah, sure. So on the telematics side, it's Geotab, Samsara, Fleet Complete, Verizon are some of the big ones out there that we've worked with. And then on the, let's say, asset management side, we're working with a group called AssetWorks, very much in the municipal government sector. Fleetio is another big player out there that we've been working with, more on the small, medium-sized fleets. And then we're working with groups, and this is more long-term relationships, but with the Chevin Fleetwave is one other group out there. So there's a few systems out there that we're working with. And we also integrate it into some of the shop softwares to pull in the work order data or push it. Hmm. And there's a lot of players there, but there's about 50 different providers that we're synced in with to be able to get that information to push and pull from it.
Cool. Yeah.
And if a listener, viewer, doesn't happen to be with some of the software that you mentioned, are you open to listening to them and exploring how to connect with the software that they are using?
Yeah, actually, we're at this stage in our company where we've been growing, but we're in this really heavy focus of working with fleets, fleet managers, hearing their feedback and directly implementing those changes in the software. So we're in that heavy development phase. And so because of that, anyone who is working with us is getting a lot of hand holding, a lot of extra action. We're almost an extended development team to them. And that can be rare to find a company at that stage at this time, but that's the focus we're at right now. So that's one of the benefits of working with us today, is you get a lot of that attention and focus.
Cool.
And sorry, I was looking at you, John, whether you had a question or not, but Shiv.
Well, I was got a comment I was going to make, and knowing that from the ELD standpoint, so let's kind of talk a little bit about the telematics approach. From an ELD device, we know that there is no requirement by law to have an ELD in a vehicle pre-2000. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I do know of some fleets that do run some telematics devices on some of those older trucks that do have a computer system in their vehicles. Mm-hmm. Rare, but there are some. And I was just wondering, is there a particular age of vehicle that you guys can go back to? Or does it all depend on whether the telematics device will connect to the vehicle?
Yeah, it's mostly depending on the telematics device and the data it reports from the asset. Most of the vehicles are in the past 12 to 15 years because that's the average population. So that's where the confidence is higher. But we've had some older vehicles on the system, and you'll still get those battery alerts, predicting battery failures, the engine alerts. Of course, they don't have these comprehensive DEF systems, so they have less engine derate and things like that. But the system will work as long as the telematics is reporting that information.
Cool. Okay. Good deal.
Shiva, I got a question for you, because most of my clients are the small guys. You know, like the people I work with are generally 50 trucks or less, not the 100 to 500 truck fleets. Can you work with people like that?
Yeah, of course. So it all depends on the needs of the fleet. Usually when you have, you know, as you get more and more vehicles, the getting ahead of downtime becomes more and more of a problem. Like the chances on any day that some breakdown is going to happen increases. But there are smaller fleets. We have networks of owner operators that maybe collectively there's 200 that are working with one organization. And those owner operators, I mean, they have two vehicles, some have 20, but they all want to get email reports that every morning is giving them like a health overview of the few vehicles they own. And that gives them that safe, like that confidence or comfort of, okay, things are in good shape. If there's something critical, they'll get an alert at that time. And so they're using more of an email interface versus a having to log into a system every day, right? So we simplify that use case for some of those fleets that have maybe less vehicles and make it easier for them to digest this data and the insights.
So a great opportunity for the small guys to be able to, you know, almost compete on the same level as the larger organizations.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And get ahead of downtime and make sure their trucks are up and running, and they're avoiding costs by doing that. And all the data is already there. If you got an ELD plugged in, you're sitting on untapped information. And what we're trying to do is find the value in it and tell you what's important and take out all the noise. So find the needle in the haystack of stuff that matters. And that's really what counts in the long run. We do, at least that's what we're seeing with the clients we work with.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, from a small fleet operator, and that's where I came from, you know, we were a dozen power units. To have that technology, that power to know what's going on would be crucial, because the small operators don't have extra trucks sitting around waiting and, you know, extra drivers that I could swap out. You know, the bigger carriers, it's a little easier to absorb, you know, to a certain extent. I could switch some guys around and go, here, drop your trailer there and run empty over here, pick up this guy's trailer and go. You know, we don't have that availability when you're a couple of, you know, two, three trucks and whatnot. So having that predictive modeling would be huge to kind of go, okay, now I can schedule that downtime and get it. And now I can get it done in the shop in one day, rather than all of a sudden it becomes an emergency situation and I spend a week or two.
Yeah. And what makes it also powerful is whether you have two trucks or 20 trucks, the analysis is using data from 500,000 trucks to give you the insight. So you're still benefiting, like, as if you're a big fleet, like, to your point.
Right.
So it's kind of trying to bring the value back down to anyone who wants to benefit.
Right. So this is picking from all those other guys in the pool to be able to say, this model of truck, this year, this engine, this serial number grouping or something like that, we're starting to see failures of this component. Hey, Mr. Two truck operator, you've got one of those units that fits in this group.
Yeah, like a prime example with Freightliners in the past 3 years, there's this engine intake fault that appears. And if you look at the DEF fluid level, it starts to drop very quickly, very fast. So we have this algorithm that when that scenario pops up, we know that the EGR needs to be replaced or definitely cleaned. And if you don't do it within the next 5 days, it's probably going to derate. And so that's an example where whether you have two trucks, we're going to give you that alert, or if you have 500 trucks, but that was trained or learned from about 500,000 of these assets. So those are kind of examples. That came up today, actually, with one of our customers. So that's why I shared that.
Sure.
Yeah, well,
cool. Oh, that's excellent.
The thing that I like about it, I mean, the small guy, the ones that I work with, they don't have some of the cost advantages that the bigger guy has. No. You know, they can't buy 500 tires at once and some of the other things that the large companies can do. So something like this, I think, would help add money to the bottom line, because it's going to predict and they're going to be able to do the repair at a much better cost than if they broke down on the damn road.
Yeah.
Well, right, savings opportunities. Is painful too, you know. Even if you take it in for service, you might be sitting there for 2 weeks because getting some of these parts is so hard. So what this also at minimum can help is you can wait for the breakdown as well, ride it till the end, but get ready for this 2 weeks ahead of time. So maybe you order the part and get ready. And if it breaks down, then, you know, you wait till it comes in. But it helps in those scenarios too. It's just better planning, even if you want to wait for that event to happen.
Yeah, well, hey, there's lots of parts around right now, Shiva, isn't there?
Yeah.
everybody's really well stocked at the moment. Come on.
I got an extra left arm if anybody needs it.
I know. Isn't it terrible at the moment, the inventory crisis, I think, that we're having?
Yeah.
And it's whether you're building cars, repairing trucks, trying to buy groceries. I've noticed a real problem at the not a problem, because there's always food to eat, but you know, everywhere I go, I've noticed a lack of inventory, and I know it's a problem in manufacturing right now, so of course it would be a problem in repairs.
So price is going up, but access to stuff is reducing. It's just feels painful for everyone, I think.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't this also save, you know, okay, if I can predict it, I'm ahead of the game right off the bat. But if I have the breakdown, I have to get towed in somewhere. Somebody gets to plug into my computer and then tell me what's wrong with it and get to charge me an extra $200 and some odd just for the diagnosis when, right. Hey, I'm paying for a service that predicts this. I already know what it is, and I told you 2 weeks ago to order the parts.
Exactly. Yep. And it has those reports, the same diagnostic report you're going to get. The only time that's more useful at the shop level is they already kind of know what the general direction is of repair, and maybe they want to go in and go a little deeper, so they plug in the scanner. Right. But this gives you like 80 to 90% of what really matters, and the technician can plug in if he really needs to. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. And because of that, it can save a lot of time and pain. Mm-hmm. Some, like most of the times, you might get a code or the engine light pops up, and this is the other cases. There's not an issue. So if you waste time at the shop, you just spent maybe $200 to check something that wasn't a big deal because you're a little bit afraid of what's going to happen. But this will tell you that up front. So, you know, there's two sides to that coin.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, and that's a problem for small operators, right, that maybe don't have their own maintenance facility or something. You know, all of a sudden, code's coming up on the dash, and the driver's going, oh, God, I don't know whether I should drive or whether I should park or what. And, you know, and then the next thing, well, I'll go to the shop. And, you know, before you know it, we've lost a day or two because the shop can't get you in right away just to do a diagnosis. Whereas now, hey, I'm utilizing the telematics device to tell me, hey, not only what the problem is, but I know what the problem is before it's going to happen.
Well, and also, Shiva, would it also help me reduce the cost? Because we know, or at least I think sometimes there's unscrupulous mechanics out there.
No, that's not true, Chris. I heard on the internet that's not true.
There
and you believe everything on the internet, right? Yeah,
there are one or two I've heard. Now, so if I took my truck to one of them, could your pit stop software help me avoid unnecessary charges?
Yeah, it can help line up, hey, here's the actual fix, and then when they're suggesting, hey, you should change this and that, like you can do a comparison and say, well, you know, I really clear that the things that matter right now is maybe just this EGR. I don't need to do a full DEF flush or things like that. So I'm going to put that on pause, just change the EGR. Everything should be good to go. That's like an example right there of how it can help.
Cool.
So I'm thinking there's several ways that pit stop software can help me save money.
Well, I'm liking this idea because I've seen some apps out there for doctors. You know, like I don't have a family doctor. So there's an app you can get with maybe your health benefits provider. And it's, you know, you hit the app when you need a diagnosis on yourself. And, you know, there's a doctor or nurse practitioner telling you what you need. Mm-hmm. This is the same thing for my truck. But it's keeping an eye on me as I'm going down the road all the time. So it's coming up and say, hey, you're about to develop a cough in 3 days. You might want to get this looked at before it happens. Here's two Tylenol.
Yep. That's a great, great comparison. And the good thing with machines is they are a lot more consistent, whereas people can be very different. But machines are the same. Like, they're very similar, so it's easier to actually do this accurately, predict accurately.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the bonus part is we know no two people are the same, but two trucks are pretty much the same. So when you've got a group of, like you say, 500,000 trucks, you can pretty much go, yeah, you know what? If that's happening with a couple hundred over here, yeah, it's going to happen over there.
Exactly. That's right. And you could tell the lemon vehicle very quickly from the good ones. Like all of these, it's very quick. It just a little bit of analysis and the system picks it up. It's kind of cool. It's very powerful.
Hey, just and you just mentioned lemon vehicles. Have any customers called you up and say, hey, Shiva, I'm looking at this type of a truck. I want to buy a used truck. Is this a good purchase? Not price, not from a price point, but just from a maintenance point. Anybody asking you that question?
Yeah, so they've definitely asked a question. One of the reports that we generate, it's kind of similar. What it does is it actually will take, but this depends on telematics. As long as we get the ELD info for 6 months, it will rank the vehicle and come up with a score and compare it to your other vehicles in the population or similar vehicle types. And it'll give you a score and say, okay, this ranks at the 40th percentile for this Freightliner or for this Mack truck. And so then you kind of know, oh, okay, should I move forward with continuing to repair this truck or should I sell it? So for a used truck, it's a little bit tricky because you don't have access to the data. But I think in the future, one day when you're buying a used truck, as an example, I think these kind of scores should be accompanying it, much like in the, mm-hmm. in the light duty, they got Carfax or similar. I think mm-hmm. this is the type of analysis. Every truck has some ELD or things monitoring. If you just run this analysis, it'll give you a health score. Then you can kind of understand the value of the truck over the long term.
Those I was going to say that, this would help the seller of that truck.
Right, right, exactly.
To be able to say, here's a report, here's a diagnostic
report. Helping the seller more than the buyer.
Well, sorry, I walked on you. What'd you say?
Well, I said that's the area that our health score has been helpful, is more for the seller right now, because they own their data, so they can run the score. And then when they're selling, they say, hey, look, you can also look at this report.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of a Freightliner at 250,000 miles typically has this part fail. Therefore, before I buy it, I'm going to be asking the shop, hey, have you guys changed that? Have you taken care of it already? If not, I want to deduct that from the purchase price because I know I'm going to have to. You know what I mean? And that's the kind of thing. Hey, Pit Stop, how can people find out more about you?
Yeah, so you can visit our website. It's pitstopconnect.com. And on there, we have the ability to talk to someone on the team. You can also email us. You can email me directly if you need, Shiva, S-H-I-V-A, at pitstopconnect.com as well. So open to even just have conversations. If someone's just interested, they just want to learn more. I mean, I'm happy to have this dialogue with as many people in the market, in the field as possible. I think it's really powerful stuff. I don't think enough people know about it and want to try to explore and prove the value with as many groups as we possibly can.
Well, and
cool.
Let me put a plug in for your white paper. You also have a white paper. If somebody wanted to download that report, which is it's got a lot of pictures. It's only 14 pages. So it's about a 5-minute to 10-minute read, I would say. I think that's what it took me. How would somebody get your white report?
Yeah, it's right on the website as well. We kind of highlight the white paper. We have other case studies as well. So different informational items that you can download from our website. And it talks a lot more about this. It tells you about other examples where we've done this. The report I believe you're referring to is actually a bunch of interviews we've been doing with fleet managers and understanding their pain points and what is common in the industry right now. So it's a lot of good information on the website directly, pitstopconnect.com.
Cool. And I'll put a link to that, to the white paper report in the show notes, and I'll put your contact info down there as well.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to reach out, you've already given it to them, so I know they're welcome to shoot you an email. I know you're a hard guy to get a hold of, so I wouldn't tell people to call you, but to email you for sure. Right, Shiva?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that would be perfect.
Last word. Anything, did we miss something that we should all know about Pit Stop?
The main thing is, and we probably talked a little bit about this, but we're really open and willing to work with everyone. We want to help fleets from small to large. And you probably have a lot more data than you think that you could be taking advantage of. I know it's overwhelming for a lot of people. And you've been doing things for a long time and it's been working, but hey, these are some of those changes that are very easy to make and create large value and in impact. So at least have a conversation and we'll take it from there.
All right. Cool. And Shiva, what you don't know, you might know, I shouldn't say you, I shouldn't assume anything, should I? Our audience is about 60-40 split between Americans and Canadians. And that's 60% Canadian, by the way. So let's say it, Pit Stop, where are you located?
We're located in Toronto, Ontario.
Yay!
So we're Canadian company.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
Pit Stop is a Canadian company. That's what I wanted you to shout out there.
Nice. Nice to hear. Yes.
I'm a proud Canadian, Shiva. So whenever it's possible, I always like to give a shout out to other Canadian companies.
Oh, big time. No, big time. Big time. Bye, Canadian.
All right. Shiva, Perfect. thanks so much for coming on the Trucking Risk and Insurance Podcast, because this falls under the risk category for sure. All right.
Yep.
Thanks so much, my friend. Thanks, Shiva. John and I really appreciated you coming on to the show this week. If you, the listener and the viewer, are getting value, don't forget to click a like and subscribe. Leave us a comment. Who would you like for us to have on the show for an interview? All right, please leave us a comment, and appreciate you all so much. That's it for this week on the Trucking Risk and Insurance Podcast.